All right, it's Monday night, VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS. George.
Yes, it's great to be back.
It
feels like a month since
we've
been
here. It was 2 weeks. We took off the 4th of July, and now we're back, and we've got a great guest tonight, Bill Holmes, the VoiceOver doctor.
Yeehaw.
The doctor is in tonight. We're going to be talking with him.
The audience is excited.
I know. We have some tech questions, we've got the news, and we've got VOBS coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Ants Land Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop site for voiceover resources. Vizzy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. VO2GoGo.com, announcing camera-ready you. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Well, hi there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Yes.
All right. Finally, we got that right. It only took 2 years.
Hi. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. And a fun but very hot weekend here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Going to cool off, so we hear. But at least it's nice and cool in here tonight.
The air conditioning is working overtime.
It is. It is. You know, it's probably going to see icicles coming out of it after a while. But Bill Holmes is with us tonight, and we're going to have some fun going over some scripts and talking about how he fixes people's voiceovers. Not how he fixes their voice.
Just the reads.
Right, exactly.
Makes it a real performance.
That's right. And that's going to be an interesting. We also have the studio audience tonight.
Yay!
How do you like that? Makes this place look so huge.
Wide angle lenses, baby.
Yeah, fisheye. All right. Anyhow, let's see what else. We got some tech questions. And of course, if you have a tech question or a question for Bill Holmes or anybody here, just put it in the chat room. And I believe Jack Daniel is monitoring the chat room this evening, as is Antony. So we are totally covered in chat room coverage. So anyway, so let's get the show on the road here. It's time for...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
There we go. All right. How to create a voiceover brand. Perception is everything. Well, almost everything. You still have to knock the socks off your clients with your voiceover auditions and performances. But getting to that point is a matter of marketing, of convincing casting directors, producers, agents that you are the voice of choice for the job. That's where perception comes in. How do they perceive you in the first place? And the way to create perception is through branding. In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, longtime voice actor, coach, producer Jean-Marc Byrne shares how how to create an effective, unique brand for your voiceovers. Something that immediately identifies your voice. In effect, your brand is your promise to your clients. If you already have a brand, is it effective? If you don't yet have a brand, you need it. Here's how to create or tweak your VO brand. Start with three questions. How do you perceive yourself? How do others perceive you? How would you like to be perceived by others? For question number two, about how others perceive you, send the question to a core group of 10 to 15 people you know well, a mix of friends, family, people in voiceover, whom you can count on for honest feedback. And when all the answers are in, Jean-Marc says, imagine the three questions as circles that intersect in the middle that point to where all the three circles intersect will become the basis of your brand. Got it? Now, in the article, Jean-Marc shares the example of one of his students, Isa Diaz, who has a deep voice of God, yet also a sense of humor. After the branding exercise we just described, they came up with this brand. If James Earl Jones and Will Smith had a baby... Clever. With that statement, we get a clear idea of what Isa's voice sounds like. Deep with authority, plus a sense of Isa's character, which is hip and funny. By the way, Isa's on a roll with lots of steady voice work. There's much more to learn in this article, now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. Lovely. And then, yes, and now it's time for...
some tech news.
Tech update with George Whittam.
Yes. Well, I was just digging around for some interesting things that I've seen popping up in the tech world for voiceover and audio and beyond, and I stumbled on a microphone from Shure. Shure always makes some really surprisingly and not so surprisingly great mics.
And has for over 100 years.
Been doing it for a long time. 100 years? Is that right?
Probably.
Holy cow.
It's 2017. Time catches up to you after a while.
Those guys have been around a long time. Well, they kind of brought back an old retro design that is called the Dual Dyne. And Andrew's got a little video package there. I don't know if he's got it queued up, but I think he does. Yes, he does. I see his head shaking. Andrew, go ahead and run that, and I'll talk over it, and you guys can see what a dual dyne mic is, and I'll explain a little bit what this mic is about. Oh, John's going to tell us something.
Reverse the flow of a dynamic mic. Our engineers gave us hundreds of pages of math that proved it could be done, but current manufacturing processes made it impossible. We had to reinvent the way we make microphones to make dual dyne a reality.
So basically, in essence, this is just some really, you know, hot footage of machines, machining things, lathing, which is fun. I love manufacture porn, which is definitely what this is. This is the kind of marketing companies are having to do now, shoot these really nice short films about their products. But anyway, the concept of a dual dyne mic is that there's two diaphragms inside the mic. A typical dynamic mic has just a single diaphragm facing you. This one's got two diaphragms, one facing the other direction, opposite you, inside the mount. What that allows it to do is reject background noise really, really well, and it also rejects proximity effect really well, too.
Well, which is because you generally use a dynamic mic very close.
Yeah. So, you know, why are we talking about a handheld dynamic mic?
Why are we talking about a handheld dynamic mic, George?
I'm always looking for the best mic for working in adverse conditions. Mm-hmm. I've heard of people toting around SM7s, a big, bulky, on-the-air dynamic microphone.
Heavy mic, too, yeah.
I've heard of people taking those around. But this microphone kind of has its roots in the SM7. They all kind of have a common design behind this capsule. But this mic combines more than one capsule to get this new way of using a microphone. And I know it's outside the realm of voiceover, but I have a hunch it could be a pretty awesome voiceover mic. Maybe not for everything, but maybe for travel it could be the killer weapon because of its rejecting background pickup,
right,
its ability to run it real close,
right,
and not get muddy and, you know, proximity effecty, you know.
If such a term does exist.
Yeah, yeah. So I do plan on getting my hands on one of these things. I'm going to test it out. But I thought that was really cool. And the video is a lot of fun, too.
Cool.
The other thing that hits home for me, because anybody out there use Mac OS, Sierra, web browser? That's not just the Sierra, but the... I'm sorry, the actual web browser comes with a Mac, which is called Safari.
Thank you. Right.
Brain fart. The Safari web browser, I've kind of stuck using it on my laptop because it doesn't drain the battery like the web browser and Chrome does. And I like Chrome, but man, is it a battery hog. So I've been suffering with the awful way that Safari manages tabs. I am a tab-aholic.
You have so many tabs open on your Mac.
I'm a tab-aholic, man. Yeah. I just am. It's the way I go through all my things of the day. I keep a lot of them open. But in Safari, it doesn't show little pictures of icons showing you what the tabs are. So they all start to blend in together, and you're constantly clicking between which one had the tab with this thing I was doing. It's a multitasking nightmare. So they have finally adopted a technology that Chrome has where not only does the tab have a little icon, which they call the fave icon, I believe, in web design. Okay. If Joe was here, he would be like, yeah. but now you can pin the tabs, which means you can take the tabs you use all the time and pin them to the top of the bar and have them all collect to the side. And I find this really, really useful. I just stumbled on this new feature the other day. I didn't even know it was there. And I jumped for joy. So all of you tabaholics that use Safari, rejoice.
You know, it's like, what goes, the wife is a tabaholic too. And it's like, I don't understand why it's not, take down your tabs. Because when you reboot it, all the tabs come back up. And it's like.
Well, that's what I want. I have mine set so it remembers the tabs.
Because you go to so many different places. It's one thing at a time, do it right, and move on to the next.
Yeah, I can't work that way.
Okay. You're. I'm a creative individual.
Yes, but anyway, that's my little bit of tech update for the week, and let's move along.
All right. Well, Bill Holmes will be with us in a couple of minutes, and we've got some of your tech questions coming up, so stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
What do your target clients see when they listen to your audio-only voice demo? Your clients are creating visual content. They live in a visual world. They think visually. To make a strong impression, your voice demo needs to meet them where they live. Now, your voice demo can make a strong visual impression when it's a Vizzy visual voice demo. A Vizzy demo takes your audio-only voice demo and adds a visual component, making it instantly more memorable to your prospective clients. The audio track of a Vizzy demo demonstrates your voice work like only your voice demo can, while the video track tells your story, reinforces your brand, and delivers the call to action that an audio-only voice demo simply cannot. You went to all the trouble to have your voice demo showcase your work. Now, go all the way and showcase your brand, too. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo at VizzyDemos.com.
Alrighty, always wanted to give VoiceOver a go, but don't know where to jump in? The VO Dojo Summer of VO is for you. It's a virtual voiceover summer camp for grown-ups. Remember when summer meant you could just play and learn something new? That's what they're going to be doing all summer long. The fun will continue for 8 weeks as they dive in with their Summer of VO weekly workouts. You'll meet virtually once a week starting July 11th with workouts for all levels, combining group coaching, self-directing skills, working pro guests, and mock auditions in a variety of genres. So whether you're completely new to VO, have been exploring on your own and want an inspiring, fresh perspective, or just want to get the heck out of your closet and work and play with other super cool voiceover people this summer, jump into the VO Dojo Summer of VO. A seriously fun virtual voiceover summer camp for grown-ups. Go to this website now and grab your spot, thevodojo.com.
They are ribbed for her pleasure.
All right, is VOBS .tv?
Yeah, it is.
All righty. Just let me know when you're ready.
We're rolling.
Before time began, there was VOBS .tv.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we are back. I was working with John Bailey today.
Speaking of, we were just hearing.
We were just hearing John there. Yeah, I've got a beautiful walk-in closet in his new house in Van Nuys. And it's like, whoa. He's like, I want to make it a show space. I'm like, nobody needs to see how the sausage is made. But,
I want to put LED lights and all that stuff.
He's here now, and he wants to, I get it. I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time coming. Met his family, a wonderful one.
The guy has worked hard, and his career has improved over year after year.
Absolutely. So welcome to Southern California, as it's 117 degrees here in the valley.
Well, he moved from where? Memphis, which is pretty warm and sticky.
Yeah, and he was right near the Memphis airport, which, is
the hot, warm, and sticky.
And the hub for FedEx. So now he's just over by the Van Nuys airport. So an occasional helicopter.
Loud, warm, and sticky.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, not anymore. Yeah.
No. Perfect place. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful. So welcome,
nice.
John.
Welcome, John.
Yes. Okay, we got a couple of tech questions here with really sophisticated answers.
No, we'll try to answer them in a way that you guys can maybe grasp.
Yes.
First, I'll grasp it, then you guys grasp
it. And it's mostly for you, although I think I actually know some of the answers to this. This comes from Kate Angus, who is in Madrid, España. She is in Spain.
Nice.
People watching this show all over the world, you can't beat that. Mm-hmm. All right. And she's probably watching live, and it's probably like 3 a.m. there. Okay. Is there a way to, quote, special paste room tone into a track using Logic Pro? As you might in Twisted Wave using Command Y.
Okay.
Now, what exactly is a special paste?
Well, I use special paste as a way to paste room tone over something you don't want anymore.
Right.
Mouth noise between phrases and big gasping breaths. You can copy some room tone into an open space or, 5 seconds of room tone into the clipboard. That's the little temporary memory where you save something by hitting Command C or Control C on Windows. And once it's stored there, you can paste it over and over. But with special paste, it will paste in exactly the amount you need.
Right.
So if you only need a half a second of room tone, if you select a half second to paste over, it will just stick it over that. Normally, it would paste the entire thing.
Right.
And then you'd have to trim it every time. So anyway, it can speed up editing. But Logic, it's not really a super duper editor.
No,
it's really a composing, arranging, music production program.
Right.
So it doesn't have some of these slick whiz-bang editing functions. Now, I will say right now, I'm not a Logic geek. I don't use it every day.
And neither am I.
They may have a function that's similar to special paste. But what I can say in the meantime is it's a multi-track DAW. It's a multi-track digital workstation. So you can put room tone on another track.
Indeed you can.
And what you can do is just lay room tone over the track another track.
Right, and then just sort of draw the volume up and down as
you
need to.
But you don't even have to do that.
You don't?
You don't.
Oh, wow.
What's cool about room tone is you can layer a layer of room tone underneath a track that has its own room tone. And the thing about white noise is it doesn't really add on top of each other and make it. So if you have two tracks with the same amount of white noise, it doesn't make the resulting mix isn't twice as loud.
Right.
The
if
one
they're at the same level,
masks
it's the same.
The other. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating. I learned this a few years ago.
Sort of like noise canceling my headphones.
Kinda, yeah. An engineer told me this. I was like, really? So you can put a layer of room tone underneath the entire recording, and you can chop the crap out of that dialogue track with big holes all over the place in the room tone. You don't care, because now you have a second track with room tone on it all the way across. And something you can do in Reaper, because I've done this a lot lately, is you can take a track with room tone, even if it's only 10 seconds of room tone, click and drag the right boundary tool, and it just automatically loops it over and over and over and over as long as you need that room tone.
Wow.
Now, Logic, I would imagine, has a similar feature, because it is a multi-track DAW. It has a lot of the same features. But if you can do that, that's another way to do it. It's a different technique, but you'll get the same result. And the result is that you've got consistent room tone. All of your edits disappear. People can't hear where the edits are. They're just seamless that way.
Hmm.
As long as you don't chop off a breath.
If
you do good editing, the room tone will take care of all those little holes.
Right. Yeah. But Logic Pro is not a great tool for doing long format editing.
I've played around with it a number of times, and the name Logic defies me because it just does not make sense to me the way it operates. I mean, I'm able to make more sense out of Pro Tools than Logic. So I don't know what that means.
Boy, that says a lot right there.
Or Reaper.
Okay. Well, Kate, hopefully that helps you out. And if the rest of you are like going...
And Kate seems to know Twisted Wave relatively well. Yeah, so enough to ask about Command Y.
Right.
So just use Twisted Wave. What are you doing?
What's your problem, huh? All right. Here's one from Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the last name. He just sends Dave.
Don't need it.
Okay. Love the show. I have what I think is a not-so-bright question. Yeah, I know. There is no such thing as a stupid question, just stupid people. I currently use Pro Tools Express. Yeah, I know. It's a bit dated. Never got around to updating. Planning on moving to Twisted Wave. See, now he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's understanding. Yeah, just stay with Twisted Wave.
Yeah.
Can I set up EQ compression, etc. from Pro Tools to be imported into my current setup, which was custom tweaked by my studio, by me and an engineer, Casey Jones, probably. My assumption is it can't be done due to the fact that the DAW companies want you to purchase their plugins. Am I right? Well.
It's a deep subject.
Yes.
Twisted Wave has a cadre of plugins that are included. All Macs come with an array of plugins.
Right.
AUs.
Right.
Audio units. They're what show up in GarageBand and Logic and
Twisted Wave.
So
even in Audacity.
They do, actually. If you're on Audacity on Mac, you'll have extra plugins that don't come that the Windows people don't get.
Right.
So those plugins are not common to the plugins that come with Pro Tools, however. They're very different plugins. So in some cases, you would be able to just copy and, well, if I'm using an EQ, shouldn't I be able to just copy and paste the setting from this EQ and then duplicate it in the EQ on Twisted Wave?
Right.
Yes and no. Oh, who's calling in for the show tonight?
I can only guess. Well, guess what? Now, Lewis, you know you're not supposed to call during the show.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Okay, bye.
Your very own flesh and blood.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Big fan, apparently.
A big fan. Watches all the time. Anyway, you were saying about...
you can copy and paste some settings. So, like, if you have an equalizer that works and looks somewhat similar to the one in Pro Tools, which I know for a fact the ones in Twisted Wave don't, you could copy and paste, like, well, I'm using a 3 dB at 1 kilohertz and copy and paste. It works to a degree. It's just, it's very tedious. There's no easy way to do it. The answer is no, you can't quickly export settings from Pro Tools and bring them into Twisted Wave.
Okay.
I tend to just do it by ear. I will have somebody send me their audio, send me the original audio that they want to match, send me some dry audio.
Right.
And I'll make sure the settings in Twisted Wave closely duplicate as possible the original settings you were getting.
Right. And that's if you're trying to match something with something else. But generally, the idea is get the sound as clean, as raw as you can from the start and not rely on tweaking and enhancing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned that he's got some stacks that I made for him at one point. And if you're trying to duplicate those stacks in Twisted Wave,
right?
Yeah, there's a modicum of matching that has to go on. But honestly, I would probably just start over and, you know, start fresh, because unless you are specifically needing to match something you've done before in Pro Tools for a particular client, start fresh, because I'll tell you, years after year, my ears change and I get better and I change the way I think and do things. And I feel like I'm getting better year after year. So if we're going to do it again, let's start from scratch, not try to copy something. Chances are I'll listen to the old thing and go, I don't know what I was thinking. That didn't sound very good.
He moved some coats in his closet and it just totally changed the acoustics in there.
Right, right.
Okay. Here's one from our VOBS Facebook page. It says, can someone here help me? Okay, that's why we're here. Yeah. Until recently, I've been using the Scarlett 2i2 on a PC with no problems. I've now switched to a MacBook Pro. However, when I plug in the Scarlett, the MacBook Pro only recognizes the input. Output only shows the built-in output. It doesn't even give me the option for Scarlett. Yesterday, I took the MacBook Pro to the Apple store, and the technician completely erased the OS and installed a new one. And then it recognized the Scarlett both on the input and the output. When I got home, I migrated my files back into the machine, and it was still okay with the Scarlett, but today I went to start it up, and it's not recognizing the Scarlett on the output again. I don't understand why it would do that again when it was fine yesterday, and what to do about it, other than go back to the Apple store, which I'll probably do tomorrow. Many thanks.
Oh, man, I don't know what the Apple people are going to do for you. They've already...
they messed it up somehow.
They've already, like, done the usual... I'll just upgrade everything and everything will be just fine. They've already done that.
Yeah.
And everything's not fine.
Yeah. It's unusual for a Scarlett to do that with a Mac.
Yeah. I mean, it's plug and play on the Mac. There's no drivers or anything to install to get it to work. So I don't know if it's a first generation Scarlett. maybe there's some issues with it. I mean, they've been around for a while now. It could be getting tired. Yeah. It could be a bad connection.
Wonder if she's using a used Mac or something along those lines.
I don't know.
Give us lots of details.
Yeah, it could be a bad USB port. It could be a wonky USB cable.
Right.
It's so many different things that it could be. But I would start by fixing the cheapest thing first, which is plug it into the other USB port first, because that's free. Then try, if that doesn't fix it, then try a different USB cable. And don't get a super long one. You know, keep it under 10 feet. You don't really want super long USB cables with these things. If that doesn't fix it, the Scarlett itself might be getting funky.
Right.
And it might be a good time, if you want to keep using the Scarlett, get
the second generation one,
which I haven't used the new one, but I hear it's really, really good. People that are using it saying it, they've made some improvements to it. And it sounds a little cleaner and has a little bit more gain.
And it sounded fabulous before.
It was good to begin with. So, yeah, like, they couldn't probably go wrong. So, you know, that would be my opinion. Other than that, you know, if you're going to delve into the Apple software OS side of things to troubleshoot it,
it's a rat hole. Don't do that.
You know,
only the people at the Genius Bar know what's going on in there.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Genius Bar is great at troubleshooting the Mac,
but
and
not
all the Mac hardware and the Mac software. But anytime it's outside
peripheral,
of that realm,
bad news.
You get lucky once in a while, and the genius happens to be a musician.
Right.
Maybe half of them are actually. I think there's a good chance half the geniuses are musicians trying to make a living. You know, otherwise it's a crapshoot trying to get them to help you with anything third party. Have you contacted Focusrite by now? You didn't mention that. Contact Focusrite. They're here in El Segundo, right down the road. They're pretty helpful.
Doesn't help if you're in Kansas City, but unless you call them.
No, they do have a phone.
That's true.
And they do answer it.
Well, yeah, unlike some other companies we know.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, one last quick question
here. This is a new one. I didn't see this one.
Yeah, before. Craig C. Williams. Is there a way to see the dB scale at the side of the track in Reaper?
Oh, great. See, I just mentioned I've been using Reaper lately, and he was like, oh, maybe George will know this.
Does George know this?
No, I don't.
Okay, right. All right.
A dB scale at the right side of the track in Reaper. I'm assuming he's saying he wants to see like a big VU meter.
Yeah, the vertical one. Yeah,
Actually, I think I've seen people do that. You can take the master, I think you can take the master track or something and then kind of move it so it shows up on the right side of the window. I swear I've seen somebody do that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to plug a fellow podcast right now. Booth Junkie.
Have you
ever seen that guy?
Yeah, I've seen his videos.
I've had more than one client, maybe three in the last couple of weeks, who have said they're using Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask, well, where did you hear about Reaper? Because we don't talk about that much, and it's not advertised. It's really a word-of-mouth thing, kind of like Twisted Wave. And he said, from watching Booth Junkie videos, and a couple of people have said that. And they said his videos are really helpful. He gets you started, but when it comes to technical issues like this that are really specific, yeah, you're going to have to dig around a little bit.
Talk to us.
You know, I mean, I'm going to have to do a little research on that one for you, but I'm pretty sure we can find the answer for that one.
Cool.
But if you want to get a hold of me, Edge Studio Technology, or just if you don't like long domains, edgestudio.com. Click on the technology button right on the front page, and that takes you to the tech side of the Edge Studio website where all of my tech support goodies are.
Okay. And if you want to get a hold of me, and I love to do house calls and crawl around in people's closets and stuff.
Oh, we love that, don't we?
And that's a fun thing to do. you can go over to the homevoiceoverstudio.com, homevoiceoverstudio.com, or write me at dan@danleonard.com. Happy to help out. We are professionals. You always hire a professional.
Despite this show, we are professionals.
Well, okay. Anyway, but, you know, people just tend to overthink all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're here to like slap you around. Stop it. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. But we're going to make things more complicated here in a second because we're bringing on Bill Holmes, the voiceover doctor, and see what kind of complications develop during our surgery here.
So, I see what you're doing.
Wasn't that a great segue? All right. Pat myself on the back a little bit. All right. And we'll be right back here on Voiceover Body Shop. So do not go away.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? Mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there. in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All right. Well, I want to tell you about one of our favorite sponsors. They're all our favorites, but our favorite one of the moment is Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. Source Connect is a fantastic software that allows you to connect between your studio and any other professional studio in the world that uses Source Connect. And many, many of them do. It's taken off. It's gotten real legs now. It's been around for over 10 years, and it's being used by even broadcast networks such as CBS. I have that on good authority. And so if you want to be available to connect to some of the top studios and not limit yourself to being only available by phone patch, you really want to have this technology. It's also a fantastic backup when you're using ISDN, because ISDN is becoming less available, less reliable, and way, way more expensive. So it's a fantastic alternative / backup to ISDN. So if you want to get it set up, go to source-elements.com and you can sign up for a 15-day free trial. Let them know we sent you and give it a shot. And if you need help setting that up, I can help you with that too. Something I work on a lot. So thanks for watching. Thanks for sponsoring us, Source Elements. We really appreciate it. And we'll be right back with Dan sitting over there with Bill Holmes.
It's great.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and it's time to welcome our guest. Joining us from just up the road, up Magnolia,
down the road, yes.
Our good friend, Bill Holmes, the voiceover doctor. Welcome
to
the show.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you here on our show.
I have my little stethoscope that you loaned me here, yeah. You know, so we will be doing exams.
All right. On people's delivery.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sure, whatever. anyway. You're a unique coach.
Thank you. People
know you as there's a lot of coaches here in Hollywood.
People have said that to me.
Yeah, but you've got a rather unique approach. But let's first talk about your background. How did you find yourself in the medical profession anyway? The VO medical profession.
The VO medical profession. I came to LA about 30 years ago from Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago, and I was acting. In Chicago, I've done all sorts of acting, stage, improv, comedy, musical theater, the whole thing. And I was doing well there. And then when I moved out to L.A., I did a lot of voiceover in Chicago. I was like the young guy in Chicago for a long time. And then when I came out here, my voiceover career just stopped 100%. But I did a lot of on-camera commercials and stuff like that because I'm Iowa. And So when the camera stuff started kind of falling off a little bit, I thought, you know what? You know, I used to do that voiceover thing. I should probably try that again. So I had some agents and everything, and nobody really cared about me out here because I wasn't the guy anymore. I was auditioning. I think it was with Don Pitts at the time. You guys, you know Don Pitts, no?
No.
Oh, Don Pitts.
I've only been here 2 years.
Okay, so well, Don was just...
I got 28 you know, years on me.
Don used to represent everybody, you know, Mel Blanc, all these people. And he was a great agent. And I was with Don, and he called me up, and he said, listen, the voice caster is, they need a reader to come in. And a reader, basically, if you don't know out there, they're back in the day when they used to have casting dialogue spots, and the one spot, the one role was already cast, they would have me come in and read that one role, and then they're casting the other role, basically. Right. So I just went in as a reader, and back then there was a guy named Bob Lloyd who started the voice caster, and he was still with us then at the voice caster. He's not dead or anything. I didn't imply that he was gone. Bob's still with us. But he sold the voice guys a long time ago. But anyway, Bob was the owner, and he was in running the session. Now, Bob never ran the session before. He was the owner. And I said, Bob, what are you doing here? And he said, well, you know, this one gal got pregnant, and she left, and then this other gal took off. So, I just need to find somebody to come in here and direct these sessions. And I said, well, you know, I live around the corner. I'll come in and direct these sessions. He's like, all right, come on in Friday. And that's how I kind of got my directing career started in voiceover. And then one thing led to another. And part of the nice thing about the voice caster was back in the day is we were allowed to use the rooms if we wanted to teach private lessons and things like that. Well, then a woman by the name of Kat Lehman came along. And Kat used to be one of the big, huge voiceover coaches back in the 80s. She used to be the voice of the Electrical Light Parade at Disneyland and stuff like that. Yeah. So Kat, I was directing Kat one day, and she said, you know, you're a pretty good director. Have you ever thought about teaching? And I was like, you know, not really. I don't think so. And she goes, well, if you're ever interested, let me know. So I needed money. So I thought, okay, maybe this teaching thing, you know. I have kids that you know, go through money like water. So so I started teaching through Kat Lehman's. And then, again, a long story short, I broke off and went off on my own. I used to teach with actually Huck Liggett and Martha Mayakis, who runs a talk shop now, and myself. We all kind of ran the classes over at the Voice Caster back in the day. And when I broke off on my own, again, Bob Lloyd would always let us use that upstairs studio to teach privately out of. And I had the guy who does all of my technical stuff is a guy named Dave Burgess. And Dave was in my classes at the time, and he used to run the ABC radio network. And he was the technical director over there. And I said to him, I said, hey, listen, I need to make a demo. Can I just come over and use the facilities at ABC? And I'll just give you free voiceover lessons for life if I can just come over there. He's like, oh, you can come to my house. And it turns out he's kind of like what you guys are. He had all this stuff at his house. And so I started working with Dave. And so on Sunday nights, it was Dave and a guy named Tim Halligan and one other like stragglers that came along. I would just teach a free voiceover class. And that's how I developed my style of teaching and my style of directing and figuring out how to, you know, kind of dissect and, right. and manipulate the scripts. And I did that for about a year. And then my wife said, you know, if you're going to do this, you should probably charge people money.
You might want to hang a shingle yeah, out exactly. there. You know?
I got that one too.
Sounds familiar.
Because I was doing it. And so I kind of owe those guys a bit of gratitude for letting me develop my style. So I did that for a long time. And then over the years of teaching, I mean, the voiceover doctor is a self-appointed term. I came up with that myself because people would always come to me and say, you know, you seem to be very good at fixing what my problems are. You're diagnosing things and coming up with a cure. And that's kind of where the doctor came from, you know.
Well, what are some of the problems that people have that you try to fix? I mean, besides plain, you know, you're not very good.
Yeah. You know, don't suck, you know. I have said that to people. You know, I mean, you said it at the beginning of this. I'm very different than everyone else, and I approach all of my acting. I approach from an acting point of view. I worked at the Voice Caster for 12 years. I used to run on camera sessions. I would direct on camera sessions at Sheila Manning and various places around town. So. Even though it's commercials, and again, 80% of the work out there is commercials. So you want to get good at commercials and industrial stuff because that's where a lot of the money is. But most actors at the time, and a lot of actors still do, they tend to pay a lot of attention to the words. And again, everything I tell you today and our studio audience here is only my opinion. It's just my opinion of what I think. With me, there's no rules. There's no right or wrong with me, but there is weak and strong. You can have a weak choice and a strong choice, you know, the choices you make as an actor. So I would say that I think most of the problems actors come to me with are they think of this as advertising. They think of it as something that they have to sell, something that they have to get across. And in my experience over a 30-year career, usually they want you to come in and just be who you are and have a conversation. And if you, and don't get me wrong, advertising is some of the worst writing I've ever come across. They're grammatically incorrect. You would never, you know, I mean, so even these scripts you handed me today, we're like, oh my God, listen to this stuff. But if you can take this type of stuff and you can make it sound like you're just having a conversation about it, they're going to give you a lot of money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we hear that all the time. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, conversational, which means a number of different things to a lot of different coaches and
yes,
and across the industry. It's you know, especially out here in Los Angeles, where you've got so many people coaching and mm-hmm. so many different types of work that's going on out there. But they're looking for conversational.
Yeah.
And like I said, several people have said it means this, it means that. To you, what does it mean?
I tend to take a much simpler approach.
Oh, good.
I really do. I try, for me, I don't like to complicate this stuff. And I think most actors do complicate it. With me, the words are, they're just unimportant. If you screw up the words, if you contract the words, if you paraphrase, you know, commercial copy, it's fine. Nobody's going to, you know, unless they're telling you, we want it exactly to the script.
It's
if
not
that's,
in stone.
If that's in the specs, you know, right. then by all means, you know, do that. But most of the time, what they're looking for, what a lot of actors don't understand in casting is, you know, a guy like me, I'm running a casting session. I want you to be really good. I want you to be good. I don't want you to suck. We're not there trying to trip you up and screw you around. I want you to come in and do it and then leave. Because what's most important to me, guys, I want to go to lunch. I want to go to lunch. Or it's time for a margarita. You know, I need tequila now, right now. That's usually what casting guys and booth directors, and that's what they're thinking about for the day. So if you come in and you've done your homework and you just make it who you are, okay? So you have to think of this as, you have to think of a piece of commercial copy is, here's a set of circumstances. How would I react in this circumstance? And then do that, okay? And again, there are those out there that say, hit this word and hit that word and all the words, or get rid of all the punctuation and do all, and go up and go down. I mean, yeah, that stuff is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But you as an actor, if you're only thinking of all that stuff, you're acting. And you're not being who you are.
Right.
So I definitely work a lot in substitution, you know. You ask yourself a set of questions. Who am I? Who am I talking to? Where am I when I'm having the conversation? And then at my studio, we have a checkpoint system of pace, attitude, volume, and energy. Okay. And we call that PAVE, where I come from. There are others out there teaching the same thing, but I invented it. I'll say that now.
So we call in the education business a rubric.
Exactly. There you go. Okay. I didn't even know that. Oh. Did you invent that?
I know. Well, I'll claim credit.
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
I wouldn't know. So basically, a lot of what I teach and a lot of how I direct is because there's all this self-direction. I mean, you guys are crawling around closets and you're making people studios at home now.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is now people are out there directing themselves. And how do you do that? Especially if you're someone new starting out in the business, you know, a lot of people are just kind of doing more of the bad stuff and the bad habits that they do because they don't know any better. Right. I mean, back when I was a kid, you know, I got my car and I was with Sandy Schnarr and I would go down to Sandy's office every day, or I would go to the voice cast or Elaine Craig or wherever we were going at the time. and everybody was directing us, and that was really a luxury. I mean, it was a pain in the ass driving around town, but it was a real luxury as an actor. And these days, they don't want that. Even these days, even when you're doing a dialogue script, they want you to do your lines wild and send them in. And I always, you know, we have people who come into our studio to audition there and stuff. And I go, hey, can we read this together? You know, because to me, dialogues are all about relationships. You know, you want it to be that instant relationship.
Right. And you're alone.
And you're alone in there. So,
in a dark booth.
So like cartoons and video games, though, you have to implement a lot of that talent into commercials now, because you have to create that space in your head. You have to create that where. If you take improv classes, they always say create your where and stuff. You have to create that where, and it all has to be in your head, in your little closet. If you are in the closet looking at the words and trying to manipulate the script as you go, I don't think you're going to have a strong read. Again, with me, like I said earlier, you're not doing anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong, but you can have a weak read if it doesn't sound believable.
Right.
So what is conversational to me? Conversational to me is something that sounds like a conversation. And the only way for you to have it sound like a conversation is to make those strong choices of, I'm talking to somebody in this particular place about this particular thing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about the copy.
Right.
It can be, you can substitute something in. And then where you direct yourself is, again, if you go into the booth with those strong choices and you do those choices and you see those pictures in your head and all that, okay, and then you're done, where you direct yourself is in the playback.
Right.
You're going to listen back to it. And what you're listening for first, okay, kids, what you're listening for first is you're listening for, do I believe it? Okay. Don't read along. Don't look at the script as you go and make sure you've got all the words right, because nobody, seriously, nobody cares about the words out there. And if they do, do you really want to work for those people? I don't think so. Okay. So you're listening back, and the first thing you're listening for is, do I believe it? So step away from the script and just listen to it and kind of go, man, no, it sounds like I'm reading it. It sounds like I'm hitting words and stuff.
I'm not connecting with the copy.
So what do you have to do then? You have to go back into the pictures in your head, and you have to make them more specific. The strongest choices are the more specific, simple choices, okay? If I say to you, where are you right now? Well, Bill, I'm in my house. Where in the house? Well, I'm in the living room. Where in the living room? Well, I'm on the couch. You know what? Start at the couch. Don't give me a tour of the house, okay? Don't give these directors tours of the house. Just say, I'm on the couch. I'm talking to my friend. We're having coffee. I'm a little drunk, and that's why I'm relaxed, okay? Again, I mean, I usually come up with ridiculous things like that. But again, that makes you feel a certain way when you are that specific. And then, so you're listening back to something, and you, let's say now you listen back and you go, I totally believe that. I totally believe that I was in my head. I saw the same pictures in my head listening to it as I did as I was doing it. But you know what? It seemed a little quick. It seemed like I'm rushing it. I'm going to slow it down. See, then you go to your checkpoint system of pace, attitude, volume, and energy. So this is a pace problem, okay? So now you take something, you take the picture in your head, and you create a reason to slow it down. You just don't look at the words and slow them down,
right?
Okay? Usually, if you're looking to slow something down, you have the person you're talking with in your head, have them verbally answer you. And then you honestly react back to them in your head.
That's communication.
You hear
signal
them say something,
feedback.
You react to it.
Right.
It's basic acting, right? Okay. I mean, that's what you have to do with cartoons. That's what you have to do with video games. Why wouldn't you do that with a commercial? So that whenever you make a choice to adjust something, you have a very good, solid, strong reason and specific reason for that choice. And that's, I mean, that's kind of what, when people come to my class, that's kind of what we're doing all the time. And again, the classes that I teach, like you said at the beginning, I'm very different than other people in town and in the country, because my goal when you're in my class is to get you the hell out of my class. I'm serious. That's my goal.
Bringing fresh students.
Well, no. It has nothing to do with that. It's if you are paying me, I'm very expensive. You're paying me a lot of money to learn how to do this without depending on me. If I'm not doing that, you should stop giving me money. But if I am doing that and then you go away and you can do it on your own, then I feel that I've given you your money's worth and I have succeeded as a coach. And if you want to come back, usually people come back because we have tequila. There's always good tequila. Always good tequila. I don't share the good stuff with you guys, but there's tequila. That's usually why people come back, or we go to Don Cuco's and we have margaritas.
They also come back for the honesty.
Well, I hope so. I've had people leave me because I'm too honest. Exactly. Sometimes, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Chicago. I'm a farm boy. I grew up in a small town in Illinois. I have very Midwestern values. I'm a handshake kind of a guy. And again, I really want people to figure this out, but I don't want you to do it the way I'm telling you to do it. I want you to figure it out the way you can do it. Any good acting teacher will tell you, whatever is working for you, you should do that. So, I've had students come to me and say, I had this one guy go, I don't know what the hell you're talking about with the substitution thing. I don't understand it at all. And I said, oh, okay, well, let's attack it from a different way, because I like to brag that I've been thrown out of some of the best schools in the country. I went to the Goodman School of Drama in Chicago, and again, I had a teacher that would say, I think you're doing this scene wrong. And I'm like, well, he goes, I don't like the choice you made. I go, well, I can't really do it wrong because it's my choice. It's my scene. He's like, yeah, but that's not the choice I would have made. And I would say, yeah, but you're not doing the scene. It's my scene, so I really don't give a shit what you're thinking. And then, of course, you'd say, Bill, please leave the class. Yeah. And so I was thrown out of a lot of acting classes because I had a lot of teachers out there who couldn't back up what they were saying.
Right.
They were just kind of directing me.
They were being too rigid in there.
Right. Well, they were pushing me into a place that they wanted to see me go, but I didn't understand that place. So it didn't make me feel like I was giving an honest performance, you know? And so most of what, when I'm coaching you, most of the stuff I'm trying to get across is just be honest. I say this all the time. I always say to my kids, make it make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Does that make sense? I'll say, and they'll look at me and go, no, it doesn't make sense in my head. I'm like, yeah, then why would it sound like it makes sense? You know? Exactly. And then we go through the process of being more specific and making different choices. I mean, really, all acting is, in my opinion, all acting is you trying a whole bunch of stuff and seeing if it works. And if it doesn't work, try some different stuff. And then when it does work, you want to remember it.
Right.
When you're working with me, it's much more important about how it feels than what it sounds like. Because as an actor, you can... If you do it, then you listen back and go, shit, that's it, man, I nailed that. And you remember what it felt like, and you remember the pictures that you had that got you there.
Right.
You can duplicate that with any script that comes across. Because, again, here's the world of advertising. Of the thousands of scripts that you're going to see out there, there's about 10, really. They're all the same script, but different words. Different words, different products. But really, the ideas are all kind of the same. And once you figure out those 10 or 12 scripts that your agent keeps sending you, then you can use the same scenario every time. I'm not saying that you have to come up with a new thing every time. I mean, I won't go into any details of the things I do, but they're very simple and usually filthy ideas. Because that's what I'd rather have in my head at the time, And I'll talk about that because that's the most honest I can be. Yeah. And so what I try to teach students is find those. I'm very versed in, I was trained quite a bit in improv acting and improv comedy. I used to do that for a living. So I always go back to my improv roots, and anybody out there who can get in an improv class and take improv classes, stay in them all the time, because it's only going to make you a better voiceover actor, especially with cartoons and video games and stuff. But great improv actors, who travel and do improv on the road, they look like geniuses, but really what they do is they cheat. Because, it's like, okay, we're going to do a scene of your favorite color, red. Okay, let's do this red scene. And we do this great scene about red. Okay, and then we go to Cincinnati and we go, Yeah, give us your favorite color, red. Somebody's going to say red, right, you know? Yeah, right. And then we just look at each other, yeah, let's do the red scene we did in Chicago. I killed last week. And you can do that scene in all these different cities, and they think you're making it up, but you're not. Right. It's the same thing, you know, with voice acting. You're going to use a lot of the same choices that you come up with, but once you find something that's working, don't discard it and be too organic every time.
Right. Sort of what we call the illusion of the first time.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Our guest tonight, Bill Holmes, the voiceover doctor. And if you got a question for Bill, just throw it in the chat room. And I know Jack Daniels and Anthony are monitoring the chat room, and they'll get those questions to us. We also have some people in our studio audience. Show the studio audience shot there, Andrew. Wave. Now we're. And we've got some copy, and we're going to go over that. So stay tuned. We'll be doing all that right here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So do not go away.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio? Which one you sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverView.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverView was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple.
All righty. You know, the there's all sorts of cool stuff that goes on over at VoiceOver Essentials because Harlan is constantly coming up with new stuff. And when things break, he helps you fix it. He actually sent us new stuff to fix our VO1A because George dropped it. And he sent us a new grill for it. And the headphones, something got pulled out. We fixed it because he's got the stuff for it. He takes care of his customers. But let's listen to what some of his customers say about stuff. For example, the LED voiceover recording sign is beautiful and functional. Very nice and well worth the money. Jim Foster Services, LLC, in Wamego, Kansas. The voiceover HP headphones are amazing. No over amounts of bass, and I could clearly hear what I needed to hear, which is the truth of my audio. Thanks. Also, that was from Lelouch Lamperouge, which is his actual name, from Las Vegas, Nevada. And Harlan Hogan and his staff, especially Terry Lee, have great customer service. I was so pleased I bought a second one. Excellent job, guys. Keep up the great work. And that's from Donald Culisard of Columbus, Ohio. Well, Andrew, if you get that shot of the audience again, and the lovely Karen O'Brien can point right above her head there, there is the voiceover recording sign right there that'll change colors on you or flash or do all sorts of stuff so people know that you're recording in your booth. It will save all sorts of relationships. So get those over at voiceoveressentials.com. Amazing that you could do that, Andrew. How does he do it? It's amazing. But all you have to do is go over to voiceoveressentials.com to see all the great stuff that Harlan Hogan has over there. The headphones, the VO1A microphone, all the stuff that you can get from him, just go over there. And the best way to get there, if you're watching on our homepage, just go to the bottom of the page, look for that picture of Harlan talking into his porta booth, and click on that. That will take you right to voiceoveressentials.com and let him know that you love our show and that you learned about his wonderful store via VoiceOver Body Shop. So thanks again, Harlan. Been with us 6 years, George. It's unbelievable. God, man has immense patience. Anyway, we'll be right back a little bit more with Bill Holmes right after this.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
And we're back with Bill Holmes, the voiceover doctor. Great answers there, by the way.
Why, thank you.
Giving away a lot of information.
You know, it's information that is out in the universe that, you know, there are many, many people who teach what I teach. They teach it from their perspective. So I'm not saying that the other teachers out there have nothing good to teach you. I'm just saying this is how I do it from my right. perspective.
So what, you have classes, how often? You do it once a week, or are you in private lessons? Or
Well, for those people around the world, we do Skype sessions privately. We do private sessions. I actually have a class starting up this week. I have two classes. There's an intro to a voiceover class on Thursday night, and the voiceover audition class, which is more of what I was talking about here today. Starting Wednesday night, and there's still a couple spots open. So if anybody wants to sign up, come on in. We usually go to Don Cuco's afterwards and have really? Margaritas.
If you happen to be in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, do you do anything by Skype or Zoom or anything?
Yeah, I mentioned Skype. I do okay. Privately, I do Skype sessions. Zoom, I don't know anything about.
I'll learn
about it. You guys tell me about Zoom. I'm listening to all your technical jargon. I have no idea. I'm not a technical person. And I'm noticing my lily white legs.
That's okay.
It's 109 in the valley today, guys. Yeah,
but not in here.
Yeah.
Okay. One last question that our crack producer, Catherine Currenden, threw out here. She says, when students are looking for an agent, what do you suggest?
I suggest the same thing that guys like, the guys I hang with are Bob Bergen, who teaches, and Richard Horvitz, and people like that. And they all usually say the same thing. One, you have to have a really good demo, okay? We make demos too. If you need a demo, give us a call at Compost Productions. And, but you want your demo to be heard. So it's usually best if you have someone take the demo into an agent. Do you mind if I plug my own show a little bit?
It's shameless promotion. That's the whole meaning of our show.
Well, if you go to voiceoverdoctor.com, I do a little talk show as well, which I want to have you guys on too. It's called the Voiceover Doctor Show, and I interview agents and I interview a lot of producers and things like that. And most of what they say is make it easy for them. You know, don't complicate things with a lot of marketing, you know, send it, click here, listen to my demo if you're going to cold call them. But usually if you have one of their clients walk your demo in or say, hey, these days you don't walk it in anymore. I'm aging there. But you send it in and with their referral, or you have them send it in. And then usually at least the agent's going to be listening to the demo as a courtesy to their client.
Right.
You know, that's what I suggest. To get an agent via just a cold send is very difficult these days because, you know, agents are in the business of getting their clients that they have work.
Right.
They're not in the business of looking for new clients all the time. So.
But they're also in the business of making money. And
if they
come across somebody who is doing very well in the business,
right,
they're going to come to you as opposed to you having to go to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I have personally called agents for certain students. In fact, the young gal who works at my studio, she is one of the directors that I've hired now. I work with a couple of kids, Tyler Rhodes and Dana Pollock. Dana just came in to me to make a demo. And she has this great, she's actually the voice of Splenda right now. You know that commercial with the animated coffee cup?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hey, sorry, sugar, we got to let you go, you know, and it's all because of Splenda. And Dana at the end says, goodbye, sugar. Hello, Splenda. And she's got that kind of vocal fry little voice going. And she just had that textury thing. And even before I saw her act, I said, yeah, I'll make your demo. Yeah, I want to make your demo because I knew she was going to work just from the way she sounded. And then lo and behold, when I got her in the booth, she's really one of the best little actresses I've ever come across in the business. So obviously I took a liking to her And I introduced her to Jeff Jones, who at the time was over at Vox. And then he's over at AVO now. And, you know, took her into Tom Lawless at Vox. Vox signed her right away. When Jeff moved over to AVO, she moved over to AVO with him because he was the initial thing. And she's doing very well.
Always good to hear. Well, we've got a couple of scripts here. Okay. And we have some people who can actually read them.
Okay.
Did you pre-assign these to anybody?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is all, we're winging this. I didn't know we'd be doing this. So does somebody have something that they want to do? You run the show here.
I didn't pick great copy here on purpose.
No, you didn't.
Because what we do every day is we open up our mailbox and go, well, here's another piece of crap.
Yeah, and then this
It's paying $1,500.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Let's see if we can make it work.
Well,
so,
you know, why don't we start with that coffee thing? Who would like to do the coffee thing? Huh?
Okay.
All right.
Chris Cunningham.
So Chris,
can you pick him up?
Chris Cunningham.
Bring the mic in closer.
Yeah, bring the mic over a little bit.
So again, even though these,
move the beer.
Move the beer.
Don't hurt the beer.
Here. Now, even though you know this is very industrial type stuff, we don't have any direction on it, so we're just going to stay with the conversational.
All right.
Just kind of make it as conversational as possible.
Right on.
And you can do it over there. You don't have to look at me. Do it to the mic, and that way we'll pick you up, and I'll listen over here.
Great tasting coffee starts with the coffee, obviously. Of course, we're uber picky about where our coffees come from and how they're grown. And before our sustainably sourced coffee reaches our innovative fresh packs, we totally geek out about grind size. If the grind is too fine, the flavor can be bitter. If it's too coarse, your coffee will be weaker than your sick day excuse on your birthday.
Okay. So, how did that feel to you?
Very cold.
Very cold. So,
cup of coffee.
Were you able to make any choices about what you were talking about, who you were talking to, any of that stuff?
Well, I'm a coffee fan, so as I started getting into the context of the coffee, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, I know something about this. Let me dig into that.
So, let's go a little further and kind of simplify the copy so that we don't, I mean, do you talk about coffee often?
Sometimes, yeah.
Don't spill the beer.
I didn't know.
It's empty, don't worry.
Basically, usually the first thing you got to figure out is why did they write this thing? Okay.
Right.
And this really isn't a commercial, this is a little more of an industrial thing. So they're obviously explaining something, but we don't want it to sound explanatory.
Right.
Does that make sense? So now we can oversimplify the copy. Great tasting coffee starts. Coffee starts with the coffee, obviously. Of course, we're uber picky. So, what is it in your life that you're kind of picky about that you would have this conversation? Like, you know, I like things a certain way. I mean, I'm a Virgo, so it's easy for me. I mean, are you that picky about your coffee?
I'm pretty picky about my coffee.
Are you? Yeah. So what do you want? What do you want about your coffee? What are you picky about?
I just want it to be flavorful and
strong.
Well,
that's true. Okay, but what flavor?
Like bold, really.
You like it really?
Yeah.
You want
gritty
it to just chew in your teeth.
Stick between my teeth.
Stick between your teeth.
That's right.
Okay, great. So who would you have a conversation with about that? About your coffee. About sticking to your teeth.
Well, probably my best friend, Jim.
Who?
Jim, yeah.
So you and Jim sit and yak at each other all day.
Right.
Okay, great. So, is that what you had in your head the first time, sir?
No, I was just looking at the page.
Exactly. So now let's put Jim in. Forget the words. We don't care if you screw up the words, it doesn't matter. These guys will tell you. You can fix it in a second, okay?
Yeah.
We've got nothing but digital all around us here, okay? So, Let's just think about Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where would you and Jim have this conversation?
I think we'll be in my kitchen.
Okay, great. So you're sitting
stand
in the kitchen?
In the kitchen. And
but do you sit?
We'll lean up against the counter.
Okay, so get comfortable in the kitchen,
that's
right?
That's how you do that.
Okay, and you're just like, you got coffee in your hand?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get the coffee in your hand, and you take a sip of coffee. It's like, you know, Jesus, you know, this is great fucking coffee.
All right,
something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and say these words, but in your mind, see Jim and watch him react to you. And is he going to verbally react to you?
I think he's going to be like, just yays and yeah.
Okay,
right.
Great. But hear that and react back to him. Okay.
All right.
So a little voiceover trick, okay, with me. is wherever you see punctuation, any kind of punctuation, somebody says something to you.
All right.
Okay? So see if that works. All right? All right. Go ahead.
Great tasting coffee starts with a coffee.
Good. Now, let me interrupt one second. Okay? Because in voiceover, what do we like to do? Why is Bill Holmes good at voiceover? I get to cheat. It's all right here. It's all right here. It's an open book test.
All right.
Okay? So don't look up. It's not an on-camera thing.
All right.
Okay? Put it right in front of you here.
All right.
And just, again, you're not on camera. There's no audience. You're sitting there with Jim, and he just happens to be right there now.
All right.
Okay? So just blah-bitty-blah and talk to Jim. Go ahead.
Great tasting coffee starts with the coffee.
Good. Now, let me interrupt again. Is Jim stupid?
No, he's
okay.
Brilliant.
He's a smart guy. Okay. So again, it's coming off a little explanatory.
All right.
And all you're doing is talking about coffee.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Jim knows about coffee.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of, you know, Jim, great tasting coffee. No, it's just, hey, Jim, you know, let's go, hey, Jim, blah, 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 blah. Say that.
Hey, Jim, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But even, hey, Jim, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, Jim, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Now don't project at all. Right. Hey, Jim, blah-bitty-blah, blah-bitty-blah. Say it one more time.
Hey, Jim, blah-blah, blah-bitty-blah.
Okay. Does that feel more comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, so with me, the most important thing for you to be behind the mic is comfortable.
All right.
Okay, because when we're conversational, we're usually pretty comfortable, right?
Right.
Right? So, right. You know, why don't you sit back?
All right.
These guys will pick it up. Don't worry about that. Okay? Sit back and, hey, Jim, and then just talk about the coffee. But he's right there sitting on the floor down there. From
all right.
Go ahead. Don't project.
Great tasting coffee starts with the coffee, obviously. Of course, we're uber picky about where our coffees come from and how they're grown. But before sustainably sourced coffee reaches our innovative fresh packs, we totally geek out about grind size. If the grind is too fine, the flavor can be bitter. If it's too coarse, your coffee will be weaker than your sick day excuse on your birthday.
How'd that feel?
More natural, yeah.
Yeah, feels comfortable, right?
Yeah, man.
So that's really, whoa, George, oh, look, now they're the audience. They're the audience. That feel good?
Yeah, much more.
Okay, just much better read.
Yeah.
See? So we diagnosed the problem. And what was the problem? What made it better for you?
Just not having to think about where the
words were on. But what were you thinking about?
Coffee.
Now, what were you thinking?
My friend's reaction.
The picture in your head.
Yeah.
It was all the picture in your head that made all the other bullshit go away. V-O-B-S.
That's why we're here.
Right? You see how I threw that in?
Rope it in.
Okay, improv training. There you go. But you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So you stopped thinking about all the technical things and all the things that were complicating your read.
Yeah.
And now you just had a conversation. So you took these pictures, you attached it to these words. Mm-hmm. And now we think you're talking about this. You were talking about your coffee with your buddy. Look out! Oh, my God! Incoming! Incoming! Get in the shelter!
an
airplane fell down on his head.
I didn't know this was a gong show.
I didn't even hear the sirens. Okay, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but the most important thing is it felt more comfortable. Right?
Yeah.
So you were talking to me earlier that you have a hard time with the conversational reads.
Right.
Now you know what they feel like. Do that. So if you're in your booth and you're worried about all the equipment and that, don't worry about all that shit. Have these guys come in and set the levels to where they need to be. My guy, Dave, he gave me these little boxes and he did something to them. Okay.
These little boxes.
Yeah. And he actually tapes over the dials. The little dials, so that I don't touch them, and I just do the gain.
That's all touchy.
I get to do. So again, he's made them so a monkey can use them. Have these guys come in and let them do that for you, so that all that stuff goes away, and you can focus just on the acting. And then your reads are always going to be better. Okay?
Okay. We have time for like one more quick one here. So
quick one?
You want to try it, Karen?
Sure.
Sure. You're a professional. You can do it.
The top one is quick. So why don't we try that?
Yeah.
All right.
That top one. And again, let's just stay kind of conversational. And this is harder because this is very instructional.
Mm-hmm.
But do it in a very nice conversational way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Health into Primary Care Practice. This module is divided into the module overview and lessons. At the end of the module, you'll be asked to complete a survey. If you need help understanding the navigation used in this course, click the help link in the top menu. Click the begin button to start the course.
How'd that feel?
Good.
Yeah, felt pretty comfortable to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in your head?
I was sitting down at a desk. I was an instructor with someone who'd never done this before.
So you were still instructing,
walking,
though?
Walking them through what was going to happen.
Did you know the person?
No.
Okay.
No,
let's switch it up. Let's switch it up even more. Did you have something that you were instructing about, or was it this?
It was this. It was walking them through this.
But you don't know anything about
this. Never seen it before.
Right?
Right.
You don't know it. You don't know this.
No, I just saw it just now.
So, maybe somebody comes over to your house, and you're just telling them how to lock up before they leave.
All right.
Have you done that?
Absolutely.
And again, you wouldn't do it in a way it's like, now here you take this lock and you turn it here. You wouldn't do that because then they feel stupid,
right?
Don't make them feel stupid.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, so you just hit the lock and then you do that. See, because here, now here's the other thing with these industrial things too, is usually it's an audience of people who live in this world. Mm-hmm. I used to do this little puppet character at conventions, and I worked with these people who just made radiators, car radiators. And all they did was talk about radiators. They knew everything there was to know about radiators. So for me to go, so you take the radiator and you turn it, you know, they're looking at me like, why the hell is he talking to me like that, right?
Who's this guy?
Yeah. So they wanted me to be one of them, basically, mm-hmm. when they were talking about the new features within the radiator. So I had to do it in this very casual way that I'm trying to get you to do this piece of crap. Okay. All right. Does it make sense?
It's old copy.
It's a piece of crap. I don't know who wrote it. Whoever wrote it. It's
something
a piece
extraordinary.
Of crap. Okay. So you can bleep that, right? In case they sue me. Okay. So so find a friend.
Okay.
And just and again, that's what I came up with. If you have something better to come up with about, you know, but I just had somebody over and I showed him how to lock up the office, so that was in
actually
my
we
mind.
Just had a friend come over and learn to lock up the place because she was going to watch our cats for us.
There you go.
So there you go.
Yeah, just have that conversation, attach it to this, attach and see it how this. It goes.
Okay. Welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Health into...
Again, one more. Let me interrupt one more time. Again, you have the luxury of never looking away from the copy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. Don't. You don't have to.
My gosh.
Put that person on the floor. You know, whatever picture is here, mm-hmm. just move it to there and leave it there.
All right.
Because why would you make this harder for yourself when you could... This is why I drink usually all the time, because it's just easier.
I drink because actors are...
Actors. I really don't drink that much.
Oh, my gosh.
I just don't want people to think I'm...
Okay.
Good. Okay. Okay, so stay right there.
All right.
And that way that stumble will go away because you don't have to look away. Okay? Go ahead.
All right.
I liked what you were doing.
Good. I'm glad. Good. Yeah. Positive sign.
No, it was good.
All right. So, welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Health into Primary Care Practice.
Good. Now, let's just make another slight adjustment. I'm only stopping you because of time.
No worries.
Stop projecting. Don't project.
Okay.
Whoever your friend is, she's as close to you as the microphone.
All right.
Okay? And again, you know what? Let her in on a little... Just let her in on something. Oh, you know, and sometimes the cat will poop in the corner. You don't want to do that. You know, let her in on something and keep it that casual. Okay? Just kind of throw it away.
All right.
Okay? Go.
Welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Therapy Health into Primary Care Practice. And, wow, I can't read words today.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
You know what,
though? You know why you're going up on the words? Because now you're finally thinking about pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, hell, I'm not looking at the words. That's a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah, keep that as a positive because, again, as these guys will tell you, we can fix it that quick.
Like that.
You can always go back and fix the words.
And, you know, do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. Take it from the beginning one more time.
So, welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Health into Primary Care Practice. This module is divided into the module overview and lessons. At the end of the module, you'll be asked to complete a survey. If you need help understanding the navigation used in this course, click the Help Link button in the top menu. Click the Begin button to start the course.
Good. Now, one more, okay, and this will be the last one. But just share the information. Don't explain the information.
Okay.
She gets it. She knows how to lock the door. She knows everything you're saying. You're just reminding her. Oh, and don't forget to do this, and don't forget to do that.
All right.
And keep it that thrown away and that casual. Go ahead.
Welcome to the third module in the Cultural Care Model Training Program, Integrating Behavioral Health into Primary Care Practice. This module is divided into the module overview and lessons. At the end of the module, you'll be asked to complete At the end of the module, you'll be asked to complete a survey. If you need help understanding the navigation used in this course, click the Help Link button in the top menu. Click the Begin button to start the course.
I feel more comfortable?
Very, very different. Yeah.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. We could still tweak a little here and there, but that was way better.
Mm.
Yeah, sounded good.
Excellent.
Very good.
All right.
Yay.
Let me re-aim the microphone here a little
Kay.
Bit. Okay. All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff, and you know, some people need to see how that process works. Now, we have a couple of quick questions here.
Sure.
Shelly Avellino.
Shelly Avellino!
Yes, it's hiya, you old codger. It's been too long. I'm sorry, it's Shelly Avellino. Hiya, you old codger. It's been too long.
Right.
Are you giving away all your amazing secrets?
That's right.
What are your thoughts on too much ad-lib or lead-in?
Oh, too much ad-lib or lead-in, Shelly. No, she's in New Mexico.
Now. No, she's in Vegas.
Did she go back to Vegas?
She's back in Las
Vegas. Oh, she's back in Vegas. Okay. You know what? I think the lead-in is if you need to do it, then do it. I would try to wean yourself out of it after a while, though. I think it's important to do all that stuff in your head and then start the copy where the copy starts. But, ad-libbing, I'm the king of ad-libbing. I think ad-libbing is great. I don't think you can do too much of it. Again, unless the client is asking you not to. But I would say 75% of the work I book is because I threw something in that. And again, I don't throw things in just to throw things in. I throw things in because that's the way I would say a certain thing. Like a good example is... my buddy Bart Flynn, Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Bart, I hope you're watching. Bart and I were supposed to be it was for the Chicago White Sox, and I'm actually a Cubs fan, so having a bad year now, but we had a good one last year. And we were supposed to be baseball announcers, but fans in the stand as well. We were baseball fans. And the line was something like Frank Thomas hit 40 home runs and 120 RBIs this year. That was the line. And they wanted it very Chicago, and I'm from Chicago. So, you know, you kind of get into the Chicago thing.
Chicago thing.
Yeah, and I just started saying, yes, you know, so Frank Thomas, you know, he hit 40 ribbies and or 40 dingers and 120 ribbies this year. You know, and I just said it like that because I'm a baseball guy. That's how we would say it. And Bart was doing the same thing, and we did it back and forth. And really, Bart and I were just trying to entertain each other with this dialogue thing. We were just having fun because I was in my studio, and we were just goofing off. And we booked it, okay? And not only did we book it, but when we got to the job, they hand us new scripts, and everything we did in the audition was in the script. And I think I've won several Clios that I've never gotten to accept. over the years, you know.
That's cool.
So, so I think ad-libbing is great. I think the lead-ins are fine as long as they don't kind of get in the way. You don't want to do a lot of, hey, Bob, what do you think of this type of stuff.
And you can always edit that out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Bill, thanks so much for being with us on
thank
the
you.
Show tonight.
Thank you.
Great information.
Thank you.
All right.
And again, I want to have you guys on my show. We got to find a time to do it.
Well, we're not going anywhere.
I want to do a show just about Twisted Wave because there's so many people out there that need to know about Twisted Waves.
Okay, we got lots of stuff we can do on that. All righty. Well, we'll be right back, and George and I will wrap things up into a nice tight little ball right after these messages. Do not go away.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
You know, if you're looking for the very best, most comprehensive voiceover training, it's at vo2gogo.com, where you're trained personally and individually by David H. Lawrence XVII to create a successful and profitable voiceover practice. But if you go to vo2gogo.com right now, you're going to be a little bit, albeit temporarily, disappointed. Why? Because for the first time in 11 years, David's raised the monthly subscription fee for his VO2GoGo Pro classes and workouts. Since 2006, it was $200 a month, but today Pro is $250 a month. And the Pro Plus monthly subscription, which adds three produced VO demos to your training package, went up from $400 to $450. No warning! He just did it. I mean, that's still an amazing bargain for what you get in either Pro or Pro Plus, but ouch, right? But guess what? We've complained loudly on your behalf. We beat him into submission. How dare you raise rates and not warn people? We thundered. And he folded like a cheap copy stand. So David's agreed to give only to you, VOBS viewers, 2006 level pricing. Just $200 per month for Pro and $400 per month for Pro Plus. Go to VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. And if you choose Pro or Pro Plus, use the coupon code VOBS at checkout. The coupon code to use will save you $600 over current prices. Of course, you can save that right now if you go to Pro Complete, but that's only for you dedicated talent who want to unlock the entire 36-class course and now all and get it all through it at once, and you'll get started all that much faster. This offer is only good for a limited time. If you've decided you want to up your game in voiceover or have a game at all, VO2GoGo.com is the comprehensive way to get the training you need. So go to VO2GoGo.com/VOBS and use that coupon code, and it will save you $600. All righty. Thank you, David H. Lawrence XVII and VO2GoGo.com. I read that this afternoon, and I'm like, this is this promo? And then it was brilliantly written. Anyway.
Nicely done, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Let's just stay here instead of going out, then doing a bumper, and then coming back.
We'll just wrap up the show. There's nothing left anyway.
I know.
Except to say
we
goodbye.
We do have a video.
My movie.
What?
Oh. My movie.
Oh, yes.
Movie,
yes.
Everybody.
StepTheBand.com.
Step the band. Make sure you get out there. You know, maybe we'll give this out to the 13th caller at... You know.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Anyway, alrighty. We do have a quick video we want to show you. George and I had some fun Saturday morning. It was a little breezy. But one of the things we share is radio control aircraft, and so you roll that beautiful bean footage there, Andrew.
What's your plane, Dan? A Super Champ? No, mine's a Super Champ.
This is the Super Cub.
Super Cub.
Yeah.
All right, similar planes. Let's see how we can do together. Not too good. My front wheel is stuck in a dirt hole. Let's try that again. Here he goes. Dan and I are flying at the same time. This is a momentous occasion. You probably can't see these planes on video because they're so small, but trust us, we're both flying planes simultaneously. Dogfight. Mine does that too. They give you the worst Velcro. It just barely holds the battery. Coming in for a landing. Boom!
That was not a landing. That was called a cranding, also known as crash landing. Here comes Dan. Yay!
Yeah, so what did I say? Anytime you get to pick it up and carry it home in one piece,
that's right.
That's a successful flight.
We use the little pre-built planes that are easy to fly.
Made out of foam.
They're, it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're like kites in the wind, though. Next week on this very show, we have the very talented Kay Best. She does a lot of different voiceover stuff. I mean, it's an amazing array of stuff, yeah. And she teaches as well. July 24th, flying in from San Francisco just for our show is John Keeney. And
Randy will be probably coming in remote.
Right? He'll be coming in remotely. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Visi Demos and the idea of what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear where the genesis of that.
Yes. And then on July 31st, Sarah Jane Sherman will make her triumphant return.
Yay, she's coming back. So nice.
Voiceover Body Shop back. after the one time the show just totally went.
Didn't go on the air. Speaking of crandings.
Yes. Thanks to our donors. Who we got this week?
Well, we've had donations from Eric Aragoni, Christy Burns, Michael Martin, Cam Cornelius, Martha Kahn, Don Griffith. I put him in there twice just because he's Don Griffith. Ant Land Productions, Shanna Pennington Baird, and Greg Thomas.
All right.
Those names are all becoming very, very familiar.
And we appreciate
it,
guys.
They donate regularly. It's really nice. Thank you.
See, now, if you notice, these donations help because technologically we're almost damn perfect
now. It's getting there.
Looks good, sounds good, and it's all working.
83 episodes in.
Yes. Wow, we figured we'd get it around sooner or later after, you know, 80 or 90. The opening voiceover for our intro was done by the amazing John Taylor.
You can, too.
Yes.
You can supply your own voice.
We keep saying we're going to do a new one, but we're so much closer to doing a new intro here. What's going on over at Edge Studio with you?
Oh, man. Well, I've rearranged the website at edgestudiotechnology.com. We've got three menus, one for people just getting started to narrow it down to the four most popular things they need to know about. Then we've got the working pro menu for folks who just want to get into some of the more complex services we provide, such as making processing stacks. And the third menu choice is the pro menu, which is every service I provide on one page for easy browsing. So just hopefully making it easier to find the services we provide, because I do a lot of different things, a lot of different ways. So go check it out.
Excellent. All righty. Let's see. We've got the podcast, the show logs. Jack is still writing everything down. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the studio? Show the studio shot, Andrew.
There we go. Studio.
You want to be in our studio audience? Snacks. If you're in the greatest Los Angeles area, all you have to do is write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Tell us when you're going to be here, and we'll tell you when you should show up.
Mm-hmm.
And what food to bring and where.
The most important.
No. It's just like, just wander around Sherman Oaks.
That's a secret.
Just look for, you know, lots of lights and stuff like that. Let's see here. We need to thank our sponsors, Visi Video Demos,
Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials,
Source Elements,
VO Extra,
VO2GoGo, and the Rehearsal app, and all the other cool stuff that David H. Lawrence has, Antland Killer Demos.
That's right. And our new sponsors, the VO Dojo and VoiceOver View, for providing an uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth.
Thank you, everybody. That means so we come over the internet to you. All righty. Thanks to Marcy, who wasn't here tonight, although she did say hi. She went out to dinner, but she lets us be out here in the garage. Our producer, Catherine Curridan, Anthony Gettig, and Jack Daniel in our studio for working the chat room tonight. Great job there. And, of course, our amazing floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, and Jack DeGoldia for the show notes. And Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll be back next week. We know this is not an easy business. You got to study, work, market, do all the things necessary, because it ain't going to come to you. You've got to find it. So have yourself a great week. Work hard. And we'll see you next Monday night here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Yay.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS and VOBS.TV.